a podcast featuring ordinary men of extraordinary faith. This is Manna.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Manna podcast featuring ordinary men of extraordinary faith. I'm your host, Jeff Peterson. Now, none of the guys that you're going to meet on this podcast would consider themselves to be extraordinary, but it's their humble, holy way of living. That's exactly what makes them extra to me, and I'm excited for you to meet them. Now, one of the many grateful traits passed down from my awesome dad is an affinity for mementos, okay? Which isn't the same as memorabilia. Memorabilia are just items that represent a general time or place, but a memento is an item kept for its association with a special person, okay, or a place or time in one's life. And one of my favorite mementos is the 1988 District 20 runner-up trophy that the Annandale High School basketball team earned, very close to winning that game, back when I was a senior in high school, and today's guest was a junior in high school on that team. In fact, we are both looking at this trophy right now here in this spacious studio, and today's guest, I'm just noticing now that today's guest is listed first on the trophy, okay? And the names of the team, they're not in alphabetical order, okay? So, and his name is still listed first, so that gives you a little bit of a sense of how special this guy is. So, so I love all kinds of mementos, like I said, but what I love most about this one and today's guest has to do with growth. Because back in the day, this trophy, when this trophy was earned, when our guest and I were both teenagers, there was a friendship between us, but it was defined by a certain, you know, set of experiences, expectations, and kind of the environment that we were in, that we grew up in. You know, in Annandale, Manna listeners have heard me talk about Annandale, best small town in the world. And for all of us with old friends, over time, if we're lucky enough, we stay connected with some of them and have opportunities to kind of relive our glory days when we see them now and again. But if you're blessed, you get a chance to grow, not just grow old with these old friends. And maybe not in the same lanes of your past, but they're kind of like, they're more like adjacent lanes on a freeway, you know? They're all going in the same direction, but sometimes, you know, there's detours and there's new on-ramps. But there's never an exit ramp, you know, 40 plus years later. From being the kid, and usually the youngest kid on the playground, being picked in every conceivable sport, competition, challenge, event, and team, to becoming the first pick father, teacher, mentor, son, coach, friend, and man of faith. Today's guest embodies everything you wanted in a childhood friend, and everything you want in a lifelong friend. So please welcome today's man of man, Mr. Tim Ledwine. Hey, Tim.
Hi. Thank you for the great introduction. I appreciate it.
Well, it was weird saying, hey, Tim. So it's yeah. Led. So yeah. Hey, Led.
Thank you. Thanks. So, I had to look over my shoulder.
Exactly. So to set the scene here for our listeners, so Led and I are here at another man of man from past seasons, John Farrell, at his whatever estate out here, his compound. And so we're literally in a gym, basketball court, volleyball, whatever else you want to do here. And so we're here at our annual sort of like guys basketball team, blah, blah, blah reunion, sort of like couple of days. And so it's perfect to mm-hmm. be able to do this, here. So yeah. a little echoey here.
Yeah, that's all right.
That's all right. So, and actually apropos to that scene and kind of where I wanted to start, like I said in the intro, I mean, you really, from the youngest of ages to, you know, all through the years, you've been the first pick friend. Okay. You've had tons of friends. You've surrounded yourself. I'm blessed to be included now, you know, kind of in that still today. But let's talk there. How on purpose was the friend kind of development for you as you were growing up? Was that something that, you know, your folks were just like, hey, friends are important, you know, because you were always, you're involved in so much stuff mm-hmm. and you were always part of things. Was that a natural thing or was that a very, do you remember it being a very on purpose thing for you?
No, I think it was pretty natural. I think really where the foundation grew was just from the neighborhood kids that got together that, you know, whether it be playing football in the street, playing wiffle ball behind the church by your house, or, you know, going down to the clinic to play baseball or to the park to play basketball. It was always kind of the same crew kind of hanging out, and it was the neighborhood guys that were just kind of there, and then it just kind of grew from there. You know, people would kind of migrate in from with others, and it just really kind of grew into a great thing.
Yeah. Well, and you know, when we're whatever 13, 14 years old, you know, it's not like we were spending, or even younger than that, mm-hmm. we're not spending a lot of time recognizing that we're building these great friendships, you know, we're getting to know so much, but there was so much time, just the amount of like chronological time spent mm-hmm. that we really did get to know each other and each other's families. And there's just so much of that relationship building.
Yeah. And I think that was a part of it too. It was just the families knew each other as well. Mm-hmm. And not necessarily hung out, but they knew each other, whether it be through work or other mm-hmm. friends or just, again, out for walks or whatever it may be. And so I think that it was just kind of, it was pretty natural. It was just kind of a natural thing that ended up morphing into, yeah. you know, the kind of what we have today, you know. Yeah. And we have, you know, just kind of a few guys here, but it could be, you know, many more that yeah. really could be here. Kind of spending this time, especially when you look at the names on the trophy and things like that. And you know, you kind of look at, I look at most of those names, and it's really funny how really, like, there aren't very many of them that aren't still here.
Yeah.
You and I are probably the ones on that trophy that really aren't here.
Yeah.
You know, Mike Miller it comes back in the summers, but everybody else is still within a pretty close radius of yeah. Annandale. So
yeah.
It's kind of interesting how that works.
So for all the time that we did spend growing up, one of the things that we didn't have in common was, you know, the whole church thing. You know, we mm-hmm. went to different churches, both active in it. So let's just talk a little bit about just how, you know, the whole faith thing for you growing up. How prevalent was that for you as a kid when
yeah.
you were growing up?
I would say my mom was definitely an influence, you know, that, you know, within our household, but probably my biggest influence was my grandmother. Hmm. You know, it was, if she couldn't go to church, we were bringing the church bulletin to her house, after church. And, oh. You know, after Sundays, we were going over there for fried chicken, you know, and having Sunday dinners with kind of with the family. And, yeah. and, you know, I was seeing my uncles at church with, you know, with their wives, their kids. And then we were ending up there. But really, I, you know, it was probably my grandma, my grandpa kind of, but more my grandma.
Yeah.
Well, she was really the one that was pretty steadfast at, you know, talking about the Catholic Church, talking about, you know, things going on there, what was going on at St. Ignatius. You know, it was more of me at that time just listening.
Yeah.
Than anything else. And, you know, and like I said, within the household with my mother, you know, we were reading the Bible and things like that, but we were very diligent of going to church weekly. And you know, I would go Wednesday night, go to church, and, you know, and it was great because our church was right across from the high school, and they had open gym on Wednesday nights, and I'd go from church to open gym and go play some hoops. So,
yeah.
so it was great. But yeah. That was kind of my, I would yeah. say, my biggest influence yeah. as I was younger.
Yeah, and you bring up your mom, and your mom was such of a presence. I mean, for all of us, because she worked at the school, so mm-hmm. we all know she was.
Yep.
But, you know, your mom, I remember, and still today, has been such an influence in your life, and you were so close. Talk about how, and like you say, maybe it wasn't so conspicuous like you were doing the rosary that night, mm-hmm. but your mom operated with such a strong moral compass, and the way, you know, she raised you and your sister. I mean, it was just evident that mm-hmm. she had very strong, you know, belief and the investment that she made as a mom. Talk about how, and it's still today. Mm-hmm. Like, I think I look at you and your mom today, and it's like just as strong today as it was back then.
Yeah.
Talk about how that has evolved over time, you know, and how that relationship is, has grown.
I would say the most consistent thing is her Catholic guilt that she puts on. No, really, but seriously, it's, yeah, she was, you know, she, worked really hard,
yeah,
you know, and yeah, it was, as you said, her and myself and my sister and, you know, we had, like everybody else, our trials and tribulations. I remember coming home from Green Lake basketball camp and we lived in an apartment on the, kind of in the basement area and the whole thing was flooded. So we had to figure out what are we doing from here and, you know, and to see her have to work through that and, you know, at a young age, trying to figure out, well, what's my role, you know? And I think it was more just kind of watching her, like you say, with her moral compass and, just, you know, kind of living by the golden rule and all of those kinds of things that, it was just really the role modeling that really helped me. And my sister, you know, I think both of us, my sister, you know, really overall, I would say her and her family are, more, probably, I would say, dedicated to their faith a little bit more than I would say that I am, but not that I don't have it and things like that. But you know, her husband, his family was kind of the same way, and you know, getting back to my mom, it was just the role model of her, and like you said, just that, the morals of things, yeah, you know, just do the right thing. And, you know, and as we're riding around on our bikes or, you know, going wherever, you know, there was, you know, back however many years ago, there was just, you were just with your buddies doing that. And she entrusted that we were going to be doing the right thing. And, I always tell the story with her, as you said, she worked at school and it was always interesting because, you know, I had a little bit of a streak in me and it seemed like whenever I even thought about doing something that she would already know before it even happened, you know, that somebody's already talked to her and things. And so, that kind of helped me keep the straight and narrow a little bit as well. So,
Yeah, the one thing though that also, so yes, that little bit of the guilt, a little bit of that oversight, but the other thing that your mom was such a great example of, and we've used this phrase on the show before where, and I can't remember who said it, but you know, for a lot of people, you know, you're going to be the only Bible that they ever read. Okay. Which is a great, I think, testament to just how the way people live their life a lot of times is how Jesus comes to life for people. And your mom was that, not only in the oversight and the, in the guilt, but also in the care that she had for all of us. You know, she cared about all of us kids, you know? And so it wasn't just that she wanted to make sure you and your sister were in line. She wanted to make sure all of us, you know what I mean? We're in line and all of us were safe and all of us were making good choices. So now you as a dad, and as you're, because you followed her in education, so you've had the great blessing and opportunity to mentor a lot of young people, to coach a lot of young people. And you have that same thing. I feel like you exercise that same care for not only your daughter, but for all of these young people that have crossed your path. How do you, again, is that kind of a, do you feel like that was just sort of a natural, that's how you grew up, and so that's naturally kind of how you saw your role as, you know, a caring adult? Or was there a different type of influence that you feel like you're like, no, this is how I'm going to do it, you know?
Yeah, it was really kind of an interesting situation when my daughter, when Taylor went to college, she was very worried. She was, you know, I don't know what I want to do.
Yeah.
And I said, well, you know, you're one of many that think that you're the only one that has that feeling. And, you know, as much as I can tell you that you're not, it's a real feeling and things. And, you know, she then asked me and she said, well, how did you know that you wanted to go into education? And that was a really kind of enlightening question, because what I had told her was, I said, you know, I said, I didn't go to college going, I'm going to go into education. And I don't remember ever going, I'm going into education. Mm-hmm. What I remember is I like ended up in like an education class and just kept taking them. That's kind of my memory of things. And so I think it was more natural than anything else. It wasn't that I was really like gung ho and said, oh, this is what I'm going to do. Mm-hmm. You know, and I didn't have that, but that's where my path led me. I'm very grateful for it. I'm just extremely grateful. And, you know, we just, this past week we had conferences at school and, being able to talk with the kids and being able to talk with the parents and just, you know, let them know just the incredible things that their child can do and, you know, how some of them will help others or how they're working so hard and, you know, and to hear them talk about how they like me telling stories yeah. and, you know, doing those kinds of things is, it's very uplifting and very rewarding because, yeah. you know, you don't really know, you know, we'll be starting basketball. I coach basketball as well. And you know, one of the big things now is being a transformational coach and that word of transformational and growing those relationships and, you know, the why of, you know, why do you coach and things like that. And just today I was able to text one of our former players. He scored his 1,000th college point last night. And, you know, just was able to text him and just say, hey, man, so proud of you, you know, and way to go and things mm-hmm. like that. And then, you know, instantly to get something back, you know what I mean, is really that's kind of the whole idea of why, you know, we were out the other day and just downtown and saw a former player and, you know, hey, coach, how you doing, you know, and stuff like that. And so it's those kinds of things that, you know, just remind you what you know, the influence you can have on the different people that you come across and the importance of, you know, kind of, as you said, kind of being that mentor and being that person that is going to be the role model. And I think about that with my mom, you know, that's what I look back at is how important that is. And you know, and other coaches that we've had, you know, in our different lives and things. But I think for me, that's really like you kind of say that, you know, the idea of the Bible is a little bit different, you know, for everybody. And so when I look at it, I just want to make sure that, you know, the integrity of things that I do and when they see me, whether it be preparing for something and how hard you have to work to prepare and then being prepared to you know, either compete or to learn is, you know, that idea and just instill those kinds of things as they move forward.
Yeah. Oh, that's so true. And you're right. We shared a lot of coaches kind of growing up, but you've been around men of influence your whole life, both in the arena of sports, and then also, like you mentioned, in education. Mm-hmm. You know, being around others. Who are some of the, you know, we talk a lot about role models, guy mm-hmm. role models on this show. Like, who, as you look back now, whether it was on a basketball court or a football field, or maybe not even sports, but there were a lot of, I think, coaching influences. Yeah. Who were some of the guys for you that you felt like did more than just, you know, kind of teach you the X's and O's, mm-hmm. but now that you look back and you're like, you know what, this guy actually, like, he was a real character former mm-hmm. for me.
I think, you know, there was many, many coaches, but I guess kind of to name a couple, I would say Mr. Dolan, mm-hmm. you know, who is still at it, you know, especially with the basketball team, you know, again this year and things. But I remember being out at his house. I remember playing with his kids, you know, as they mm-hmm. were really young and things. And so I think that was, you know, that was influential. And just, I was a little on edge a lot of times when I would play or be at practice, as you well know.
You're focused. Yeah, you're very focused.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Sometimes too much on myself, I think. But he had a way of just kind of letting that play out and then just kind of saying, okay, are you done now so we can move on? You know, and so, you know, just to kind of give a heads up that way. Yeah. I would say another one is probably Mr. Wahlberg, Rick Wahlberg. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't want to throw him under the bus, but I think it's okay now. It's years after. He'd give us the keys to go to the gym, you know, and just go, just don't do anything, and then get him back to me. And, you know, but you know, and you know, on some of those, like I said, Wednesday nights when I'd go to open gym, he'd give me a ride home or whatever it might be. And so, you know, just and you know, he was not the head coach; he was the assistant. But just to kind of see how he operated as and his loyalty, I would say to the coaches that he had. Along with Mr. Starkey, you know, whose name is on the trophy as an assistant, and just again the loyalty that they showed to the head coaches, even though, you know, they might have along with the players been going, wait a minute, what, you know, but they didn't waver. And and I think about like that as a lot as an assistant coach right now, is that, and I tell the my head coach that I work under right now, as I said, you know, we might have differences when we get back in the locker room, mm-hmm. but when we're out in public, I'm 100%, I'm, you know, your guy. And yeah, so just make totally. Sure that you know that. And I think that's what I saw out of those guys. And yeah. I think that's really what, kind of the influence they had with me too, you know, as being that, and what has led to, you know, I've been assistant basketball coach now for 30 years and have never really wanted to be the head coach. And I think that's why, is because just it kind of some of seeing some of those guys that mm-hmm. were the behind the scene guys and how they could really have a different relationship and can really help to mentor others.
Well, and serving really it's even a more of a service in service of the head coach or mm-hmm. in service of the players. It puts you in a spot where you can be, you know, really unconditionally serving, you know, and not necessarily so stressed about, you mm-hmm. know, X, Y,
yeah.
Z.
Yeah.
So total guy's guy, you spend your whole life, you know, in sports or whatever, and then God blesses you with a daughter. Mm-hmm. Okay. So now you're a girl dad.
Yep.
And so you've raised a wonderful, you mentioned Taylor, and she's just so successful. She's a wonderful human being in all aspects of life. Talk about how, and you know, I always say God does nothing by accident. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's all mm-hmm. on purpose, you know? Yep. And so yep. talk about how now, you know, cause you know, for 20 years now, over 20 years, this has been further shaping you just mm-hmm. as a guy, you know, as a man. Now this girl, now a woman, has shaped your essence of being a man of faith. Talk about, I mean, there's so much to talk about, but yeah, what are some yeah. things as you reflect back now that you feel like Taylor's influence on you as a guy has
yeah.
been?
Well, many people don't know that before she was born, we went through multiple miscarriages, and so and then she's my only daughter, and mm-hmm. so she's very special. She's getting married in less than a year. I'm not really sure how I'm going to get through the walk.
There's
down
another
the
guy.
Aisle.
There's another guy coming.
Yeah,
in
yeah. yeah. Well, it's going to be very emotional for me,
yeah.
and in a very, very, very good way. I'm really, you know, her fiance. People say, you know, well, what do you think of him and things like that, and I said it really doesn't matter what I think of him. You know, it's what is obviously Taylor think of him. And to get kind of back to your question, I trust her yeah. and I trust her judgment. And I feel like she's been raised with the moral compass that I was raised with, and that she can kind of see the good in people and surround herself with good people as she has. And that if she's happy and says, this is the one, this is the one.
Yeah.
And so I have to trust her because I'm not there all the time, obviously, and things, but his name is Nick, and unfortunately he's from Wisconsin, he's a Packers fan, but we get through that, and yeah. To kind of get back to your question, she is yeah been very special to me, and you know, like you say, there's something for, you know, that purpose of things, as you know, being a girl dad yourself. Yeah. There is no relationship like a daughter and
totally,
a father.
Totally.
And, you know, ever since that she started kindergarten, she would come to school with me, be in my room, then go to her classes. And, you know, there was different milestones. And then as she moved to the middle school, then, you know, she wouldn't be with me. And as she moved to the high school then went to college, and you know, she went a little ways away. I always tell people that first trip back was 6.5 hours of pretty much tear filled, yeah, you know, time and things, but you know, all for the good.
Yeah.
And, but no, she has allowed me to become a better coach and a better teacher. Just overall, I hope a better person. Mm-hmm. When I think about my decisions that I make, whether it be in the classroom, whether it be with dealing with a player or whatever it might be, I guess I look at it and say, is this how I would treat her?
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
And try to use, you know, I say to parents too, I use her as a litmus test, is if something happens, and as a parent, if I felt like, oh, I would want to know that, I'm calling you. if I'm like, you know what, probably not, I'm going to probably let you discuss that with them. So yeah. She's really, really made me think, I think, a lot about how I go about you know, my business of educating or of coaching. Mm-hmm. And I think that was the biggest influence that she's had, yeah. You know, and like I said, you know, when I get to give her some accolades on social media or something, mm-hmm. I always try to follow it up with hashtag girl dad. And so it's, she kind of likes that.
Yeah, it's wonderful. And you guys are just such a great example of a father, daughter, and team, and just the love and the support, and just again, the growth, kind of our little bit of our theme for the day. So, all right. Well, hey, we are already at the fun segment of the show. Right. Not that this hasn't been fun so far, but now we're really going to get fun here.
Okay.
Where we ask the same three questions of every guest.
Okay.
And then since I know you're kind of a competitive guy, mm-hmm. we'll rank your answers against everybody else's.
Oh, so, good. All right.
Yeah, so
all right,
and then I'll let you know.
Okay, just kidding.
All right, so fun segment question number one.
Okay.
If Jesus knocked on your door mm-hmm. tomorrow morning and just wanted to hang out for the day, okay, you got a whole day, mm-hmm. you can do anything you want, you can go anywhere you want. No rules. Mm-hmm. You got the whole day, but it's you and Jesus. One day, what are you going to do?
We're probably going to the woods, you know, going, especially this time of year.
Yeah.
And maybe just hanging out. One of my favorite things to do is, I love getting into the woods early. I was out there at about 5:45 this morning, in the dark, and I love to listen to the woods wake up. Mm-hmm. And, I think it would be sitting there and listening to it wake up and maybe asking a lot of why questions.
Sure.
You know, and just, you know, why is this? Why are the turkeys gobbling now? Why am I hearing the blue jays? Why are the squirrels messing me up when I'm deer hunting? Because they hear they're rustling around in the leaves the whole time. But you know, as you know, and more, it's probably more about the timing and things like that right now. But that would be just leaning against a tree and wondering about that.
That'd be great. All right, fun segment question number two. If you could go to church with any other guy, okay, living or dead, mm-hmm. famous or not, it could be, you know, again, you wouldn't have ever had to meet him before, or maybe you knew him very well and maybe he's still around. But the only two rules, you're going to church and mm-hmm. you're going to go with another guy. Who are you going to go to church with?
I need a couple of seconds on that just to kind of think about it. I think probably it would be a former principal that I had. His name is Pat Pribble. Mm. Just such a solid guy. It had a big influence on my life because he was a fifth grade teacher in New Prague, as I am now. And decided not long before the school year in 1994 to go become a principal, and I got hired for that position.
Wow!
And there you go. And then ultimately he came back and was the principal in our school and was the principal and influence for quite a while. He's won a couple of awards through our district, you know, just for the kind of guy he is and the leadership he has, and so. I think it'd be him. I think it would be just to kind of show him respect and what kind of impact I would say that he had more probably on my career than personal life. But I would say him.
That's neat. All right. Fun segment question number three, bringing it home here. If you could give one piece of advice, and if you want, you can pretend mm-hmm. that Taylor's a son.
Yeah, I gotcha.
If you want to.
Gotcha.
But you've influenced so many young men mm-hmm. throughout the course of your career and coaching and a lot, a lot. Mm-hmm. So you can just pull this one out of the greatest hits. But if you could give one piece of advice, just one, to a younger man mm-hmm. about living, you know, a faith-filled, humble, holy, not doesn't have to be over the top, you know, but just a solid, like we've talked today, strong morals, strong character, get on the right path. What would that one piece of advice be?
I would say, I'm going to cheat a little bit and go too. I'm going to say live in the present and do things for you. You know, what you feel is right, what you really believe, you know, in your heart, you know, is the right decision. But more probably even living in the present, mm-hmm. you know, think about those impacts, you know, now, what, when you're doing those things right now, what do they have? What are they going to, you know, eventually lead to, but live in that present, but yeah, just kind of be your own man.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And, absorb the things around you, but you know, you've got to be your own guy, and yeah. you got to live your life for yourself and not for others. And, I think that comes a lot from, seeing how many parents live vicariously through their sons playing basketball and, you know, think that it's more important of what they want than what their son wants. And so I think that's really important.
Yeah, that's great. Well, he is literally here. I wish this was a video medium just for now so everyone can see this trophy that we're looking at there. There he is. He's the first guy on this on this list. I just noticed that, and I'm way at the bottom, and P is not the last letter either. So anyway, Tim Ledwin, thank you so much, Led. It's just been such a blessing to have this friendship, and really appreciate you taking the time to share a little bit of your story here today on Mana.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it, and can't tell you how much I appreciate you.
Thank you for listening to Mana. If you have any questions or recommendations for future guests, send them to manapodcast@gmail.com.